Oh, bye.
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Well, welcome back. I'm here today with my co-host.
Hi, Carol Peterson.
And we're going to speak of a topic that concerns us all. I've heard two statistics. One out of every three adults, or one out of every two adults in the United States have hypertension. One-fourth of those people are not treated, and a large percent are not treated correctly. I've had patients call me and people call me requesting help for hypertension. And what we're going to discuss today is we're not going to discuss how to treat hypertension. We're going to discuss.
We're not?
We're going to go all the way around it. We're going to discuss how to treat inflammation. We're going to discuss how to adjust our lifestyle. We're going to discuss how to increase our nutrient content in the foods we eat. And guess what will happen? Our hypertension will go down. So what we did, and we did something many years ago, it's at least 20 years ago at WBAI, and Dr. Ali initiated this. And this was at a time when we really had never heard of this being done. We decided to create a community and create small groups. Dr. Ali participated, I participated, Kathy Davis participated, Dr. Kakai participated, and what we did was we related and created these small groups, and Dr. Ali's direction was to lower blood pressure. And I said to him, I said, I think we should maybe direct ourselves toward blood sugar, because blood sugar, we have a direct measurable, something very measurable that we can evaluate. And he said, no, he said hypertension, and that will be our endpoint. So we started out, and this program lasted for up to four months. And we created small groups, and what we did was, and this was, we didn't suggest herbs or medicines. We just suggested nutrient changes. We taught people how to take their blood pressure. We spoke about sleep. We spoke about exercise. We spoke about diet. And very specifically, increasing potassium in the diet. And it was amazing. There were, I don't know how many people, at least 100 people in the group, in the study. And we were keeping records on all these people. And the end result is that the blood pressure dramatically decreased, dramatically went from dangerous levels to normal levels, or significantly lower, more manageable. But guess what else happened? The blood sugar reduced. People lost weight. It was just an amazing study. And it was literally the first community study that I had ever really heard about, and all holistic, we didn't really recommend supplements, and we focused or herbs, we focused mostly on lifestyle and food. So what do you think, Carol?
Oh, I think a lot. But I would
what a surprise.
I would like to insert here the information that you can get from a blood pressure cuff. So we're probably used to it, or we may take a blood pressure in a pharmacy somewhere, or your doctor does it in the office, and then it's maybe higher than it should be, coat hypertension. So with a blood pressure monitor, you're able to measure your blood pressure. The higher number is called the systolic. That's your heart pushing out blood. And the lower level is diastolic, and that's at rest. So the two numbers are our blood pressure. And we're saying that normal is 120 over 80. Some people argue as you get older, a little bit higher is perfectly fine. I don't know how I feel about that. But one of the things you can do and you should do is you should take your blood pressure while you're at rest, and you should be as reclined as possible with your feet up. The blood pressure cuff should be at your heart level. So you're relaxed, and then you do this measurement, and then you stand up and rapidly take your blood pressure again. And now your blood pressure is supposed to go up. And there are a great deal of people whose blood pressure drops at this point or remains the same. And that has to do with your adrenal glands not being able to accommodate fast enough. Hence where you could be actually prone to dizziness if your adrenal glands aren't so adaptive. Also, if your higher number, and many conventional doctors will say, oh, this is really nice and low. If the higher number, the systolic number, is at 100 or less, that also indicates some adrenal weakness. And now I saw this statement. This was by Dr. Jerry Tennant. If your diastolic, the lower number, is under 60, it's showing that you have too much adrenaline going on. And then from the blood pressure cuff, you also get pulse, a pulse rate. And Dr. Ray Pete says, if your thyroid's working sufficiently, a normal pulse rate should be in the 80s. Only highly trained athletes, for example, might be in the 60s. For the rest of us, that's abnormal. You also, some of the blood pressure cuffs do monitor also if your pulse rate is consistent or not. So if you have some abnormal beats, that might be showing up on your blood pressure reading. So I think this is a very useful little gadget. What do you think, Corinne?
I think most of us should be aware of our blood pressure, and it's good to take it somewhat regularly. The devices to take it are not that expensive. They're in the pharmacy. And just like you said, it takes pulse as well as blood pressure simultaneously. But I have found sometimes the ones you have to be aware that this is an accurate reading. So take your reading with the one you purchased and then compare it with something else. And if the two readings are not similar, then there might be a problem with the cuff that you're using. And when we're talking about, let me get back to when we're talking about hypertension, what we're talking about is the potential. And this is very important to understand. It's a silent killer. People feel good when their blood pressure is up. They really don't notice much. It's what they call a silent killer. And yet, it's a cause of vision loss. It's a cause of a dementia. It's a cause of heart attacks. It can be a cause of kidney disease and kidney malfunction. It can be a cause of heart failure. And it can be a cause of sexual dysfunction. We're talking about sexual dysfunction can be one of the first signs that the blood is not circulating appropriately to the periphery. And so we really want to look at, when we see sexual dysfunction, we want to make sure that the blood pressure is working or appropriate. 120 over 80 is okay, but 110 is even better. And we don't want it too low, but we don't want it too high. And 120 over 80 is right on that line. The number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Join the conversation. We've got lots to talk about. We're going to be talking about diet. We're going to be talking about sleep. All of these factors are very important to make, to balance our blood pressure. So, Carol, where should we go next?
Oh, I have one more thing to add with this super duper blood pressure cuff. You also can get a pulse pressure. And so pulse pressure is defined as the difference in the two numbers. So 120 over 80, the pulse pressure is 40. It's considered that 40 to 60 is normal. But some people, it's called a wide pulse pressure when that number gets above 60. And so what could be causing that? It is a concern because I found a statistic that 23% of people with a wide pulse pressure can go on to atrial fibrillation, which is abnormal heartbeats, spasmodic kind of heartbeats in the atrium of your heart. So it can be from valve regurgitation. It can be some stiffness of your aorta. It can be associated with iron deficiency and also associated with hyperthyroidism. I don't know that we know everything that it could be, but that's also very silent. So what do you get from that? So you can long-term, you can get ankle or foot swelling. You can get some difficulty in breathing, dizziness. You can facial flushes, headaches. These things, and then what do you do with that, right?
Exactly.
And so guess what we're right back to? It's just like, mind your blood pressure, lower your blood pressure, and do all the lifestyle, nutritional things, and don't smoke, and don't drink alcohol. Do these things that help you with your blood pressure issues. Pulse pressure should also be improved.
What happens is we know that hypertension is an inflammatory disease, and it's an inflammation. It's a disease of oxidative stress. So what can be triggering this inflammation? One thing that Carol brought up in the beginning was glucose. When we have fluctuating glucose, we also have fluctuating insulin, and insulin can create inflammation in the endometrium, in the endothelium of the arteries, the inner wall lining of the arteries. So what we want to do is work on balancing our blood sugar. And very often that can be a very important piece of bringing And it's an essential piece of bringing our blood pressure down. If our glucose is bouncing up and down or maintaining elevated, we're never going to be able to control our blood pressure adequately. See, what there are is there's lots of medicines that suppress blood pressure. But what we want to do as holistic practitioners, as functional medicine practitioners, is we want to look at an underlying cause and see if we can change it from the base so we don't have to be on blood pressure medicines. I had a patient that walked in my door. I'll give you this example and then we'll go on to looking more at the syndrome. I had a patient who walked in my door, said that she was saving up to be able to see me. I took her blood pressure. Her blood pressure was malignantly high.
And what do you mean by that, malignant?
210 over 140 or 130. I mean, it was malignantly high. She could have had a stroke right there in my office. I said to her, listen, you need to go to a cardiologist. You really shouldn't be here. So don't worry about my fee. Go to a cardiologist. She said, no, I don't want to go to a cardiologist. I want to be treated by you. I said, but I cannot treat you at this level to this degree. So she said, I'll do anything you say. And I said, are you sure you're going to do anything I say? I said, if I hear you're doing something else, I cannot work with you. So what I told her to do was literally, till I see her next week, was to fast. And I told her that she could have, you know, cabbage soup with green vegetables in it. She could have it strained. She could drink it. She could have vegetable drinks that are fresh made. And that was all she was to eat for a whole week. Well, she came back a week later. She had lost about 15 pounds. So what that tells me, she didn't lose 15 pounds of fat. She was totally swollen. And she had lost 15 pounds in a week of fluid and of swelling. And her blood pressure was elevated but not malignant. And now we could begin to really work with her. And the end result, over a few month period, surprisingly rapid period, her blood pressure went into a normal level. She also was diabetic, and her blood sugar went into a normal level. And this was one of the most remarkable cases that I personally worked with. And it worked, and it was through lifestyle, through nutrients, through herbals, but mostly through lifestyle. The majority through lifestyle and dietary changes. So, Carol?
Yep, I'd like to talk about adrenaline and how this is affecting your blood pressure. So it ties into the insulin glucose picture. And you can have those things tested, fasting glucose, fasting insulin. Hemoglobin A1C is useful. Triglycerides are useful. Uric acid, all useful for trying to figure out how well your insulin glucose balance is. But when your blood sugar drops, your adrenals come into
now,
play.
Carol? And you,
yes?
We have a call.
Oh,
can we put that on hold and we'll
sure.
go right to the caller? The number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Join the conversation. Hello?
Hello? They told me
Hi.
I'm first.
Hi.
Hi, how
and
you
your
doing?
Name, please?
Diane.
Hi,
Diane.
How you doing? I have a couple of questions. And the first one is if your blood pressure is usually like 120 to 140, I was told that if you take it, and I have a regular cuff, you do left and right. If there's a difference of more than a certain amount, that's concerning.
More than 10.
Oh, okay. I had that. And then what was the other issue? I had sent for nitric oxide. For my aunt, and she was 92, but she's passed on, and I wanted to know if it's okay for me to be using that.
I think it's fabulous for you to be using it. What happens is a lot of what we're going to be discussing, the interventions that we're going to be discussing very directly increase nitric oxide in the arteries, veins, arteries, capillaries. And what happens is that even potassium, which we already began to speak about, increases nitric oxide. The way we breathe increases nitric oxide. All of these are essential for our circulation.
Yeah, the bacteria in your saliva increase nitric oxide production.
I had one more concern, and yes, that is I'm athletic. I do like yoga, old qigong, tennis, lately my left foot has been swollen, and if it happened in the past, it would go away. I think it happened twice in the past, but right now, it's still an issue.
I would say you probably should have that looked at. You can take a pulse in your by your ankle. Mm-hmm. And see
I have to go next week to do
that. See if the pulses are the same for one thing. There, mm-hmm, there could be something blocking circulation. Mm-hmm. And even though it's one, you should check because it's one-sided and see what's going on. If there may be some impaired circulation to mm-hmm one leg.
Exactly. Great. So you might have strained something that's causing the swelling.
Okay.
And it with the information you gave us, it's very difficult. You can't correlate that with hypertension at this point. Go on.
Oh, I was just going to say I had tripped and fallen, and it could have been that when I fell, I might have twisted it, but they said it wasn't fractured or anything.
How long ago was this?
This is about a month ago.
Okay, so you can put where you have the swollen areas, press down deep into it, and then mm-hmm stroke your skin. This is encouraging your body to take up the lymph, which might be clogged with inflammatory proteins. A very simple technique that can take down swelling if it's from an injury.
So do like a heavy massage on it.
I'm sorry, what?
I was saying to do a heavy massage on it.
Yeah, and
press down on wherever it hurts, press hard. The pain kind of widens, and then stroke your skin. And so this helps you breaking up trap proteins that are inflammatory proteins, and then it encourages your lymph
to drain it
out. And that's what your body should be doing anyway. Sometimes it doesn't do it so well.
Another thing that can be done is a foot soak in warm water with Epsom salt and a little hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide will increase circulation. And the Epsom salt will put extra magnesium into your body. And then when you take your foot out, you can rub it with castor oil. Mm. That's a very wonderful thing. And let us know how that worked. And
great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Okay. And we have another caller. Yeah.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you perfectly. Thank your you. Name, please?
Hi. My name is Ethel. I'm calling from the Bronx. I love you two ladies. You're always on point.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. And you know, I just wanted to say that I had a situation where my fingertips was tingly and I was feeling tired and weak. And this was in January of last year. And when I went to the doctor, finally did, because I'm kind of stubborn because I like doing the natural route, only to find out that they said, oh, you're diabetic. And, you know, I hate to hear those words. But they had me on that, and then they also told me I'd have to take insulin, which I know all these things you don't have to do. But
well, what was your blood sugar?
The blood sugar was 14.5.
Oh, that's A1C. A1C probably.
Yes, 14. And then it went down. It went down in April to 6. And the nutritionist.
Well, that's a dramatic, wonderful drop. Amazing.
Yes. That's how I know.
But it's still too high.
Right. And they said they wanted to be 5. But they also asked me to, they said, change your diet. I said, hey, I'm going vegan because I did that before and I was fine. So when the nutritionist, dietitian, they said you must eat half of your plate is vegetables. And the rest may be, you know, a portion of fish and some grains. And I ended up following that. And that's how it went down, you know.
Well, and I wouldn't put lots of grains in your plate. And I really like that, you know, diets are individual. Mm-hmm. I can tell you the perfect diet, and it isn't perfect for you.
Exactly.
And it might be perfect for someone else, but it isn't perfect for you. So I really like checking blood sugars. And they have, you could get a little blood sugar monitor and just check your blood sugar when you wake up, before you eat and then after you eat, an hour after you eat, and see how your body is tolerating the foods. See how your body tolerates the grain, the fish,
the various vegetables,
and the vegetables.
Yep.
Exactly. And then remove the grain and see how your body tolerates
it.
See
how that works.
Exactly. And you
know,
it's all got to do with feedback. And when you get an accurate feedback, you can control a very large portion. You already did something really powerful. The advertisements on TV to lower your blood sugar, people go from 9 to 8 and they're all so happy and everybody's running around and jumping around. You went from 14 to 6 on your own.
Yes.
That's miraculous. That's absolutely wonderful.
That's what they said. And the other thing I wanted to take my hormone level. I wanted to check that. I asked the doctor, can I check my hormones? And he said, no, that's not necessary. I said, yes, it's important because it has something to do with becoming diabetic. And then when I'm listening to your show, the same things that you said, the same things that Gary Null talked about, everything correlates. So
That's right. Particularly testosterone and thyroid. Really affect your blood pressure, your blood sugar. I'd like to make an announcement if I can.
Yes.
I saw yesterday that the FDA has approved for consumer use the first continuous glucose monitor, which means that you can be wearing one of these, and I'm sure it attaches to your phone somehow for graphs. And so you don't have to rely on the single blood sticks. So I know nothing about pricing of this thing.
Yeah,
their stock flew up overnight. But
Well, there's something else. Is that up to now the insurance wouldn't pay for it?
And it can be a very powerful tool to have wearing this all the time because your blood sugar's affected not only by sugars and starches, proteins, if you're sensitive to it, the amount of exercise you do, all affects your blood glucose. To have this as a tool is really, really important.
I had an incident where my cousin, we were used to be, that people used to call us twins, came to live with me, and her blood sugar was out of control. And she was losing her eyesight. Her blood sugar was out of control. And within a week, we got her blood sugar completely in control. And then she got a phone call that her son had been in an accident on his bicycle, and her blood sugar just shot way up. And it was really interesting and a learning experience on how stress or fear can affect your blood sugar. So there's lots of factors to look at, but you're doing a very good job. Try to get your hormones checked. Your doctor is incorrect in that case in not looking at them or trying to balance them. So thank you so much for your call. I think we have someone else.
Your clinic.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Clinic. How to get in touch with your clinic. I think you mentioned something online.
At this point, we're seeing people, both myself and Carol, only online. We don't have an office at this point. But we can do a lot. We can get a lot done. Actually, to everything with consulting with people online. So I'm going to go to the next caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Hi. Live. Your name, please?
Hi. I have a question. I'm trying to understand the connection between hyperinsulinism and diabetes. I know, let's say you're secreting lots of adrenaline, pushes up your blood sugar, pushes up your insulin, and now you have hyperinsulinism. How do you go? Walk me through the chemistry, the physiology. Why do you go from hyperinsulinism to diabetes?
Well, we both can address this very directly. And the body is, the blood sugar is being balanced by your insulin. Okay. And so what happens is that your blood sugar keeps on going up and going up, but your insulin keeps it suppressed. And so when so I take a blood sugar reading, I get a normal reading. But we forget that to maintain that normal reading, the insulin is going up and up and up to maintain that normal blood sugar reading. And so and we have to remember that insulin is an inflammatory molecule. Very high insulin. Now, we need insulin. Everything is balance, you know. And if we didn't have insulin, we wouldn't be able to live. But elevated insulin interferes with our health, with the flexibility of our arteries. It's an inflammatory molecule, and we feel it in every single part of our body. Carol?
Well, the interesting thing is the resistance. You need insulin to actually bring the blood glucose inside of cells where it can be used as energy. And as you become more and more insulin resistant, your body's trying to make more insulin to do the same job that it initially was doing. So it's going up and up and up and up. And you bring up a good point. Isn't it kind of counterintuitive to give a diabetic insulin?
And very important point.
You're making that diabetic person more diabetic by doing so. But the idea is you need more and more insulin because you're so resistant to it. It's going to take more and more insulin to get the glucose.
Balance your blood sugar.
Inside your cells. So I like Jason Fung, who wrote The Obesity Code and The Diabetes Code, and he's introduced fasting to bring down or normalize blood sugars and normalize insulin. He said everything we do for diabetics makes them more diabetic. And he's a nephrologist, and who does he see? He sees all those diabetic patients whose kidneys have failed because of our treatments for diabetes. He's absolutely right. We're in the wrong direction. So that's a very good question.
So the number to call and join the conversation is 212-209-2877. We'd love to hear from you. And as you can see, this it's quite lively. We'd love you to join us. 212-209-2877. And you had another question? Okay, so.
Okay, let me get back to adrenaline.
Well, I've got some things that I think are so important to bring up also. Go on. Go okay. to adrenaline and then.
Okay, so what I really wanted to say that when your blood sugar drops, your hypoglycemia, your brain really, really depends on blood glucose. So your adrenals as a backup shoots out adrenaline, which is designed to bring your blood sugar back up. The trouble with that is it brings all these adrenaline things, like you become anxious, panicky, heart palpitations can also accompany that, as well as constricting with your blood vessels, which translates into hypertension, like we're talking about. On top of this big adrenaline problem is another. In about 40% of the population, it's estimated that people don't methylate well. And what do I mean by this? This is a liver detox mechanism, methylation. And it like breaks down adrenaline. It breaks down extra estrogen. So if you're in this 40% and you're not breaking down that adrenaline very well, it's persistently high. And then just to mention, two of the major classes of blood pressure medication, beta blockers, what do you think the beta is? It's one of the receptors for adrenaline, where you're trying to block adrenaline. So what blocks adrenaline? So progesterone, the hormone progesterone balances adrenaline. Eating can bring your blood glucose up, and then you don't need the adrenaline. And then you have to be mindful of how well your body is detoxifying that adrenaline.
And magnesium can bring down and work to balance adrenaline. And when we look at the herbs for hypertension,
we have a couple callers.
Yeah, we've got a couple callers. But when we look at the herbs for hypertension, most of them are very calming and relaxing herbs. It's really amazing. So we're going to go right to the caller. Hi, your name, please.
It's Maya. Thank you for this program and greetings to the beloved community such as we are. I would like some clarification because going into 3 years now, I banged one of my feet and ankles into something, and I began to see a podiatrist because it became very inflamed and didn't usually heal like other sprained ankles did. And it seems to be healed at times, but it becomes inflamed, so I appreciate the maneuver of pushing into it deep. I even came across that advice in an astrology, Polanski's astrology book for each sign for the year. But this soak is also important. And I'd like to know, you mentioned a little bit of hydrogen peroxide, but does that mean a capful, half a capful?
I'd put a cup, a half a cup to a cup.
Okay, and what about
in a bucket of water that you're putting your foot in? So, depending on the amount of water, a half a cup to a cup would be really, and Epsom salt. Now that I'd put like a quarter of a cup in there.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
My pleasure. And I think we have another caller. Hello?
Yes, hello. Is it me?
And yes. Your name, please?
My name is Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi. I'm calling you guys because I got on late and I heard you talking about diabetes. I have a very dear friend who's been diagnosed as being, I guess it's a diagnosis. Her doctor told her she was pre-diabetic. I also know that she's obese. Her husband is diabetic and has been for years, but nobody goes to dialysis. I'm so confused about these terminologies and the different levels of diabetes or pre-diabetes or, I mean, and then I just, while I was waiting, I heard Carol say something about being mindful of how your body is handling your adrenals. And I'm like, how am I going to know how my body's handling adrenals? You know, what happened?
Back to the beginning of the program, actually just taking your blood pressure. Lying down and then quickly standing up. Your adrenals need to bring your blood pressure up quickly. And for a good number of people, their blood pressure doesn't rise or even drops when you stand up. That means your adrenals aren't accommodating that. So that's therein lies an adrenal shortage. And there's a lot of things you can do for that.
Okay, but I should lie down and then get up quickly and then and take my pressure after I sit up. Sit up or stand up?
Yeah. Stand up.
Stand up and then take my pressure.
And you make a comparison. You make a comparison between the two blood pressures.
But there's other ways. Oh.
What? I'm sorry.
I said, so I'm supposed to take my pressure while I'm lying down.
Yes.
You can be lying down or you can be sitting down with your feet on the floor and your arm on a table.
Right.
And then you stand up quickly. That might be easier if you're doing it yourself and then stand up quickly and see how you feel. But there's other ways and they're more subjective. I mean, the way you handle stress. Your ability to sleep, if you're waking up in the middle of the night and your mind is running and running, that's an adrenal surge. It could be, and that adrenal surge could be stimulated by a glucose drop. And so there's lots of ways to look at this, but most people, having adrenal surges is like drinking multiple cups of coffee. And you can really feel it. You can feel that surging happening. And
I think
once your pulse rate will go up and your blood pressure goes up.
Exactly.
I had espresso one time in my life, and I couldn't sit down or shut up for 9 hours.
Whoa. Now that's sensitive. I don't know if this is accurate.
Get me out of this.
Do you drink coffee?
No. I drink coffee when I go to Jamaica because I love their coffee, but here, no.
Okay.
And I don't have any pressure issues, and I sleep like a rock. I just wondered, you know, people say things like you should, you know, be mindful of how your body is handling this, that, and the other. And I'm just wondering how can you check how to, different ways. So anyway, whether you had to go get a blood test, and then you never know what they're testing your blood for. Specifically different kind of panels, and it's a mess when you're trying to do it yourself, you know, and not just get on the
bandwagon.
That's
why working with a practitioner who has an understanding, a broader understanding, can be a very powerful thing to do. So thank you so much for your call.
So I should call your office,
Pardon?
So I should call your office.
You may. You can call. Either one of us would be wonderful.
We should give out our websites.
At the end of the show, I'm going to give them out. Okay?
Yep, okay.
So let's continue. When we're looking at hypertension, we really, like I said, and I started out this way and I keep on going back to it, we need to increase our potassium. And we can do that through eating foods and the way we eat. Where does potassium come from? You know, we think, bananas, but that's only one little piece. Avocados have more potassium and essential fats than do bananas. And sweet potatoes are high in potassium. Green vegetables are high in potassium. All green vegetables, but also beans can be very high in potassium. And what has happened is our diet has gotten so out of whack. It used to be that we ate 10 times more potassium than sodium in the olden days. Now we're eating 10 times more sodium than potassium. And that creates a fluid imbalance in our bodies. So it's not that we don't want to eat salt, but so many of the foods, right down to the, if we get a milkshake, if we get so many of the foods are packed so high with sodium, right down to the sodas are so high in sodium, and it's all hidden. And keeping the sodium high allows them to put more sugar in, which creates more craving and more desire for that food. So the more natural we eat will be a better balance for our bodies. And there are some kind of salts that are better than others. One is Himalaya salt. And in a Himalayan salt, you have 72 different minerals and nutrients in that salt. In Celtic salt, we have 85. We have three different types of magnesium in the Celtic salt. So what we have here is a little bit of salt at the end of the meal can enhance flavor, but also if it's a complete or more balanced salt, what you're going to end up with is a little sprinkling of minerals on top of your food. Carol?
On top of that, I just want people to be mindful of these Himalayan and real salt, where they have a lot of minerals. They don't have the amount of iodine that we're putting in our regular salt, which has been enhanced with iodine. So they're naturally low in iodine. So if you're looking for iodine effect, you actually don't get it from these salts. And then there are some amount of people who are salt sensitive and seems to drive up their blood pressure. But there are a number of people, and the vast majority do need some salt, like these very nutritional salts, and will help your blood pressure.
I've also been speaking with another doctor working with hypertension. He stated that he never had a patient with hypertension that had adequate vitamin D. That vitamin D is very important to bring up when you're dealing with hypertension. And it's a balancer for the nervous system. There's also what you said, well, Celtic salt does have iodine in it because it's Celtic, it's from the ocean. So there are what you said.
Yeah, it's in there, and not a great amount, so.
Iodine can be beneficial. And so what can we actually do to fix our blood pressure? One, we said it multiple times, increase our magnesium. Number two, increase potassium. Eating small fish can be wonderful. Sardines, mackerel. The smaller fish are lower in toxins, but can be very beneficial. And eating real food can be tremendously beneficial. We didn't even get into sleep. You know, we've got just a few more minutes left. Sleep apnea. Not sleeping well at night can be a direct cause of hypertension. I had a patient who had out of control hypertension. They were giving him different meds and whatever. And what we found was that he has sleep apnea. And once that was controlled, his his blood pressure went into a normal range. So this was about sleep apnea. So always when we're looking at hypertension, look at our sleeping habits. Very important, because if we're not sleeping well, if we're breathing through our mouths, we're lowering our nitric oxide, because our nitric oxide is made by the vibration of the little fibers in the nose, and it increases our nitric oxide while we're breathing in through our nose.
Oh, and, so we might want to tape our mouth up.
Well, that's possible, but we need to make sure we're getting enough oxygen and we're getting a higher level of sleep.
Yeah, yeah, so, through your nose. That's a biohack some people have been promoting.
I want to say that this has really been fun. It's been really fun speaking with the audience. I love it. And I love the questions that you bring to us. They really enhance our show and enhance our communication with the listeners, which is the pleasure of BAI. Also, I want to tell you, this was not an attempt to treat or diagnose. It's sharing information that you can take with you into your homes, to your practitioners, and see if you can get a working relationship that can benefit your health. Remember, we really don't want to just suppress symptoms. We do want to treat the base causes. And I wanted to tell you that we have a Facebook page. It's called Take Charge of Your Health Radio. And we put different blogs and different newsletters on it. I have a webpage, CorinneHealth.com, CORINNE, health.com. And Carol has a webpage also. And on both pages, you're going to find lots of important information. Carol, your webpage?
My webpage is the Wellness by Design Project.com, or my name, Carol Peterson, Peterson with all E's, .com will get you there too.
So we had quite a beginning and quite an intense conversation. And we know that this is important to all of us. And the comes down to a base, and the base is reducing inflammation and improving our life and lifestyle to create health. You know, we didn't even get to how important exercise is and how it plays a role in our circulation.
To be continued.
I heard someone say that if you don't want an hour's worth of exercise, would you rather have 24 hours worth of death? Now that's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to thank you. Thank you, Reggie, for keeping us up with the callers, and we will be back next week.
Thank Bye-bye. You, everybody. Bye-bye.
For WPFW in Washington and W